quote, the economy, stupid.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Let go.
Level up. Level up, 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 level up. All this on me so yummy.
Hello, Level Up with Dani. Friends, it is Dani Stockham. Today is my day, so I am here. today's topic is judgment. And judgment is not as simple as judging people is bad. Judgment is actually a necessary human function. And I wanted to do a little research about judgment and what it's doing to my wellness journey. So the overriding question is, when does discernment protect us and when does judgment poison us? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So here's kind of the big idea. Our brains are judgment machines. We're constantly assessing, is this safe or unsafe? Is this trustworthy or not? Is it attractive or unattractive? Is it like me or is it different from me? Is it successful or unsuccessful? Some of that is ancient survival wiring. We couldn't function if we evaluated every person and situation from scratch. But then, judgment becomes social. She looks older. He's gained weight. Their marriage is strange. She drinks too much. He should have more money by now. Their kids are spoiled. Why would she wear that? I would never do that. And that is where things get interesting, because judgment often tells us at least as much about the judge as the person being judged. So for a long time, I would exercise my penchant for judging people willy-nilly, just whatever popped in my head as far as a commentary on a person, a place, a thing, a situation, a feeling, I would just say, that sucks. She's ugly. That's terrible. I don't want to do that. And, you know, the question is, what do these judgments reveal about me? Sometimes the thing that irritates me in another person touches something that's unresolved within myself. So if I'm irritated by someone's, their way of speaking, or I'm irritated by the kind of, who does she think she is? Why is she dressing like that? Or if I'm irritated by the way a person behaves, how they relate to other people, if they're flirting or if they're closed off, if they seem like a see you next Tuesday, or if they seem overly affectionate. Like, what does this reveal about me? What's unresolved in me that makes me judge them? I mean, I could be judging someone for being flashy because I'm uncomfortable attracting attention. You could judge someone for being lazy because your own identity is wrapped up in productivity. You can judge someone else's body because you're preoccupied with your own body. You can judge someone for spending money because financial security scares us or financial insecurity scares us. And sometimes it's envy. Envy is hiding underneath that judgment. For example, who does she think she is can occasionally mean, I wish I had the nerve to do that. Now, I, not so much who does she think she is, but more like, I could never fill in the blank. I wish I had the nerve to fill in the blank. That has been a very common thing that I do, thing that I hear. And I wouldn't so much call that judgment. Maybe it's like aspirational admiration. But I don't want to make it seem like all judgment is just projecting. Sometimes somebody is really behaving badly. And sometimes our judgment is useful information. So that's kind of a distinction I'm going to, you know, base the show on. Judgment versus discernment. So discernment would be, I don't trust the way this person treats people, so I'm going to keep some distance. Judgment would be, he's not a good person. So when you discern something, discernment evaluates behavior and it helps us to make decisions. Judgment often turns behavior into an identity. So could I decide something isn't right for me without deciding that the person doing it is beneath me? I don't know. I mean, those are some of the triggers and tripfalls of judgments. I have a friend that uses the word discernment a lot, and I like that word. I think that word is very, strong. You know, it's illustrative of what you're trying to say. Like, I want to have discernment around that. I want to keep my judgments out of it and be more discerning in how I talk about people, how I think about people. Now, there's always going to be those situations, those scenarios where you're sitting around a table with a bunch of girls and you're like, oh my gosh, did you see so-and-so at the so-and-so? That was crazy. Like, what was she thinking? I mean, why did she even leave the house? You know, judgments about behavior, and judgments about, you know, the physical part of life. I think that's for women anyways. That's where a lot of judgment comes in. Women are really hard on themselves. They're also really hard on each other. And this is something, as a mother, I try to be really careful about. Well, I tried to be really careful about it when my girls were younger. Not so much now, because now we can literally sit around and be judgy McJudgersons together. Although, I'm not proud of that, but sometimes it gets us to giggling, and that's, you know, one of the things that come from talking about other people. And there's that whole thing where, you know, sometimes I hear my husband, I'll use him as an example. He'll love it. He doesn't listen to the show anyway, so I don't have to worry. But he'll say something like, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And I was like, talk about yourself. You know, like, as kind of a way to like, whoa, stop the conversation. Like, you're putting all this off on someone else, or someone else did this, or someone else this. Or sometimes he says, my wife this and my wife that. And I'd be like, talk about yourself. Like, as a way to deflect from whatever it is he's being judgmental about. People need to start doing that to me, actually, now that I think of it. Someone should say that to me. Danny, talk about yourself. There's also another little thing, like when somebody says, oh, I don't think that's appropriate for so-and-so. And then the response in your head or even out loud is, for you. Like, I don't think a woman over 40 should wear denim shorts. Okay, for you. That's your thought, for you. Maybe you don't want to wear denim shorts over 40, but I'm rocking the jorts at 63. But do you know what I mean? Like, there has to be like a, whatever you're saying externally, there should be like a little internal thing. So, back to my question. Can I decide that something isn't right for me without deciding that the person doing it is beneath me? Comparison isn't necessarily the villain. Comparison can hurt us terribly, but it can also provide information. You see someone your age getting stronger and you think, maybe I could do that. I hope that's what this show is about. Someone changes careers at 60 and you think, maybe I'm not too old. I hope that's what this show is about. Someone leaves an unhealthy situation and you realize, I have choices too. I hope you get that from this show. That's upward comparison being used as inspiration rather than self-punishment. Here's a different thing, though. Why isn't that me making those changes, getting stronger, changing careers, leaving an unhealthy situation? Why isn't that me? That's resentment, inadequacy, shame, versus why is she doing, what is she doing that I could learn from? That's curiosity, motivation, change. That's what this show is about, hopefully. So let's talk about this show and the wellness payoff and the fallout. So the payoff can be the phrase you were reaching for, and it's great. Like healthy judgment, discernment can give us boundaries, safety, standards, self-awareness, motivation, and better decision-making. Healthy judgment, healthy discernment. This is a wellness payoff. It gives us boundaries. It makes us feel safe. It allows us to establish our standards. It gives self-awareness, motivation, better decision-making. Chronic negative judgment has a different cost. It keeps us scanning for flaws. It reinforces comparison, feeds anger and resentment, and can damage relationships. And there's another sneaky consequence. The more harshly you judge other people, the more likely you are to assume they're judging you just as harshly. Then you might become self-conscious, hide things. Don't try something because it might look foolish. Don't wear the bathing suit. Don't dance. Don't admit you don't know something. So judgment that started out pointed towards outwardly eventually will restrict you. I think, and again, speaking for women, when we harshly judge other people, we always have a little voice assuming that that's how they, these other people, these other women, these other men, these other humans, that that's how they judge the world and possibly us as well. I think we told the story when my friends were in the studio about us being on a girls' trip and going, you know, who were the mean girls? Like, who was like considered like mean girls in high school? And we were all like, gosh, I don't know. And one girl was like, oh, I don't think there were any mean girls. And another girl in my friend group said, if we don't know who the mean girls were, it was probably us. So just kind of dovetailing on that a little bit. If we were the girls who talked, you know what, about everyone and, you know, made fun of other people, not in a mean-spirited way, maybe in a joking way, like, you know, whatever, we were trying to think of words when they were in the studio, like, you're a goober, or you're such a goof, or what a weirdo, or, you know, those kind of judgments and thinking that we were above being judged. I mean, that's a young girl's game, but as a fully formed grown woman in her 60s who started this wellness journey 3 years ago, I'm the harshest critic on myself. I criticize myself and judge myself way more or as much as I judge other people. And when I judge other people, either in jest or silently in my head, there's always a personal component to that. There's always a little, why is she dressed like that? And then in my head, it's actually really attractive, but inappropriate for her age. Or why is she dressed like that? I wonder if I could dress like that. What would happen if I dressed like that? Is that appropriate for me to dress like that? these are superficial, topical things, but at the same time, they're also feeding a deeper need. Like, and I'll just talk about myself. Talk about yourself, Danny. You know, if I don't feel confident with a fashion choice and the feedback that I get from the world isn't, oh my gosh, that's so great, you look amazing, it's kind of like lukewarm, I will be in a judgment spiral like no other. I never should have worn this. What was I thinking? Who do I think I am? I'm too old for this. How am I going to get through this situation, this event, this day, this next hour, being in public in this outfit? I shouldn't have worn it. But I remember, and I'm kind of all over the place here, but this just came in my head. I remember, you know, telling people that I was helping through a crisis, like trying to make them feel better. But being authentic about that, don't worry. You're looking at yourself way more critically than the rest of the world's looking at you. People don't care about other people. They only care about themselves. And believing that that was true, only because I don't leave the house without taking a good hard look at myself and trying to fill up myself like, yes, you're rocking this. You can do this. That's a good outfit. You look good. Go out there in the world. Because I don't think anyone else is looking at me as critically as I would be looking at myself. I don't know. Does that seem like that flows? Well, here's the thing about judgments. How do we stop doing it? I don't know, but maybe we don't. Maybe we don't have to. Maybe the goal isn't to stop judging, because that's probably unrealistic. A healthier goal would be notice when you are judging, get curious about it, decide whether or not it's useful, and then choose what to do with it. So if I notice I'm judging a person, I should ask myself why. Is there actually a value to me being violated, a value of mine being violated? Like, I value modesty. So that's violating the value that I've placed on modesty. Is that why I'm judging them? Is me judging this person a way of protecting myself from something? Does the way that person is moving through the world, does it remind me of something that I think is unsafe? Does it, and I'm not going to overuse the word trigger, but does it trigger something in me that makes me feel unsafe? Am I comparing myself to this person? Like, either positively or negatively, like, I wish I had the guts to do that, or I don't think that's appropriate, and I would never do that. Am I jealous? Do I wish I could do what they're doing? Do I wish I could wear what they're wearing? Do I wish I could exercise the way they're exercising? Do I wish I could go where they're going? Am I insecure? Is this one of my insecurities? They're a little affectionate. That's making me feel a little insecure. I don't like that. That's also making me feel like I need to protect myself. And is this different from what would I choose? Would I choose to dress differently, to act differently, to be less, just be less? And most importantly, do I need to do anything about it? And that depends on how violated you feel. Like, is it, if you value something deeply, like telling the truth, feeling safe, blending in, being soft-spoken, then you're around someone who's really loud, that doesn't make you feel good. So do you need to do anything about it? Like step away? If someone's very affectionate, do you need to be like, that doesn't make me feel good, please don't do that? Or do you just need to just be like, okay, I know for next time this isn't going to be good for me? Like, do you need to do anything about it? Because just because it's different from something you would choose, that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to have an action around it. Because we can have judgment without turning it into gossip, without being cruel, or without it being a verdict about another person. So, that's a little bit about judgment, but I wonder, what do the Stoics think about judgment? Well, I don't know exactly to quote them, but I am on week 9 in my Stoic journey, and this week is called Stand Your Ground. So it says, the storms are coming. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to train the art of facing adversity. Stoicism was not built in libraries. It was tested on battlefields, in prisons, in exile, in sickness. This is where philosophy becomes steel. This week begins with one command: stand your ground. Life will push, people will betray, circumstances will overwhelm. The weak man flees, blames, or breaks. The Stoic does not move. He roots himself in principle, refuses to be shifted by fear or force. This week you will practice standing firm, holding to your code when everything in you wants to run. Adversity is not a punishment. It is a training ground of strength. So that's not so much about judgment, but I have a judgment about this philosophy of staying strong in the face of adversity. And what do you do when you're feeling betrayed? What do you do when you're feeling judged? What do you do when you're being overwhelmed by your own judgments? So I'm on day 60. I can't believe I've done 60 days of Stoicism already. But today's reading is called The Gift Inside the Failure. Don't curse the misfortune. Ask, is this something I can turn to good? And this is Epictetus. In 1982, Octavia Butler mailed off another short story, hoping this time it would break through. The letter that came back was the same as the others: rejection. One story after another was turned down more than 20 times. Many writers would have stopped. Butler did not. In her private notebooks, now archived, she wrote something extraordinary beside the rejection slips. She wrote affirmations. I will be a best-selling writer. My books will be read by millions. She was not pretending the rejections did not sting. She was training her mind to keep moving through them. She read the criticism, revised the drafts, and refused to confuse not yet with never. Years later, that persistence gave the world Kindred, Parable of the Sower, and a new vision of science fiction. Butler became the first Black woman to win the Hugo and Nebula Awards. Failure is not a verdict. It is a workshop. The Stoic does not collapse under disappointments. He dissects it. Every failure contains a clue, a pattern, a small demand for refinement. If you leave too quickly, you miss the lesson. So think of one failure that still embarrasses you. Return to it. Read it with new eyes. What instruction was hidden in it? What skill did it demand you sharpen? Rewrite the memory, not as defeat, but as the beginning of growth. So this reading hits me in a few ways. I did many writing classes over the last couple, 4 years when I was getting started on writing my book. And in the classes, it is a, you'll get an assignment to write something or you'll share something with your class, and you, everyone else gets to read it and critique it. And I was a wreck, not over sharing my stuff, but over critiquing other people's work, because my judgmental brain was making a comparison. As I read other people's work, I was judging their work based on my work. So I didn't want to be too complimentary, because my brain made me think that if I liked their work better, they were better than me, why am I even writing? There's so much better writing out there than my writing. So when I read that about Octavia Butler, that's the first thing that I thought. And at the end where it says revisit a failure, well, I mean, the writing of my book isn't a failure, but it's not written. It's not finished. It's never been submitted to any editor for feedback. I'm deathly afraid of that. So scared that it's paralyzed me and put the book on the shelf for almost 2 years. So I might revisit that. I keep thinking that I will. The thing that I want to do is I have it saved and I want to print it because I want to see the pages in front of me. I want to see the flow in that way so that I can redline it better than editing it on a computer. And maybe I'll do that. Maybe this stoicism is training me for the battlefield. This is the battlefield. I don't know. I'm going to play a song, and there's so much radio business. Guys, I have 6 things to read. It's 1:27. So I'm going to play a song. There's a lot of songs about judgment, as you would imagine. I had to download a few into my playlist. It's so funny. A few of the songs, well, 2 of the top songs about judgment were by Taylor Swift. So I'm going to play Karma by Taylor Swift, and then we'll come back and I'll do some radio business and we'll talk some more about judgment. This is Karma. This is going to be Karma by Taylor Swift.
You're talking shit for the hell of it. Addicted to betrayal, but you're relevant. You're terrified to look down. Cause if you dare, you'll see the glare of everyone you burn just to get there. It's coming back around. And I keep my side of the street clean. You wouldn't know. Your little webs of opacity, my pennies made your crown. Trick me once, trick me twice. Don't you know that cash ain't the only price? It's coming back around. And I keep my side of the street clean. You wouldn't know. Goddamn acrobat, me and karma vibe like that. Ask me what I learned Karma's on your scent like a bounty hunter. Karma's gonna track you down, step by step from town to town. Sweet like justice, karma is a queen. Karma takes all my friends to the summit. Karma is the guy on the screen, coming straight home to me.
I know that song by Taylor Swift. I've heard that song many times. I think it's interesting that when I was searching songs about judgment, that song came up. I don't know that karma is a judgment. I don't know that being judgmental has anything to do with karma. But maybe if you're judgmental and you turn your judgments into gossip or cruelty, or it's a verdict about how you're going to feel about someone, that maybe karma's going to get you. Something to think about. You're listening to Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockham. This is KOWS LP 92.5. from Occidental, California, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com. So there's some exciting things going on in our county. The Occidental Flea Market, it's the fourth Saturday of the month. This is the last one. It runs May to August and August 22nd at the Occidental Community Center parking lot from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. This is the last flea market of the season. So if that's your vibe, go. Usually Cows has a booth there, so you might see some of your DJs in the flesh. I'm going to Dallas this weekend, so I won't be there. There's also the Sunset Concert Series, which is select Sundays at the Inn at Occidental. They have local wine, craft beer, local grilled cuisine. There's limited seating. 8:23, so this Sunday is late for the train. It's an American folk and bluegrass group. You can get tickets or more information at 707-874-1047 in at occidental.com. So that's a thing. Then we also have this Please Read. Another trip around the sun brings legendary jam musicians together for a night of music and community. The Sebastopol Community Cultural Center invites music lovers to another trip around the sun, a fundraising concert celebrating the spirit of live music while raising funds to support the center's ongoing community programs. A longtime gathering place in the heart of Sebastopol, the Community Cultural Center provides affordable space for arts, education, performances, and nonprofit organizations, helping foster connection, creativity, and community for all ages. The evening features an exceptional lineup of Bay Area musicians deeply rooted in the Grateful Dead and jam band tradition. An all-star lineup from four top Dead adjacent bands: guitarist Mark Curran, formerly of Bob Weir and Rat Dog; keyboardist Scott Guberman, Phil Lish and Friends; drummer Anna Elva, Stu Allen and Mars Hotel; and bassist, vocalist J.P. McLean from Melvin Seals and JGB, bring decades of musical experience and spontaneous energy and improvisational spirit that define the jam band scene. Slow String, the new folk project featuring Sarah Ryan and Jimbo Scott, will open the show, setting the tone with heartfelt harmonies and acoustic roots music. Another trip around the sun takes place Friday, August 21st, that's tomorrow, at the Sebastopol Community Cultural Center, which is at 390 Morris Street in Sebastopol. Doors open at 6. Advance tickets can be purchased at seb.org. Celebrate great music and community while supporting the Sebastopol Community Cultural Center. That seb.org made me think of the South End Bar in Wellston, Ohio. If you're from Ohio, that means something. If you're not, it doesn't. PSA, you don't need to be a policy expert to stay informed. Issue Voter makes civic engagement simple. Get alerts about bills in Congress, share your opinion, and track your representatives' votes right from your phone. No stress or jargon, just clear, accessible information. Get connected, stay engaged, and visit issuevoter.org to start making your voice count. This has been a public service announcement courtesy of CALS Radio, Free Speech, No Bull, Community Radio for the West Sonoma County. Speaking of voting, we have an election in November, primary election. And I just got a thing in my email to be a poll worker. And I was a poll worker for two elections when I lived in Arizona, and I think one time here in Santa Rosa. And it's boring. I mean, it's not fun. You're literally at a polling station. You may or may not get in-person voters. A lot of people drop off their ballots. It's a long day. But there's something about being in the polling place that makes you feel super patriotic. I take voting very seriously. I'm that person that reads the ballot adjacent circulars that come in the mail. I try to be an informed voter. I have been registered to vote since I could be registered to vote. And I think I might work this year. So that's what I'm saying. I don't have any judgments about people who don't. I'm just saying I'm going to do it. Okay, CALS program promotion announcement, Jazz Connections. Larry Slater is the Sonoma County Jazz MD, and his show, Jazz Connections, is featured on Thursday afternoons at 5 here on CALS. A retired family physician, Larry has a decades-long passion for jazz and brings his eclectic taste and interest in jazz history to KOWS. His thematic shows highlight the history of jazz, from jazz musician profiles to surveys of composers and innovators. Whether you're a jazz novice or a long-term jazz fan, you'll hear something new on Jazz Connections, Thursdays at 5 p.m. right here on KOWS 92.5 FM in Occidental. Another show I didn't know about, so I like that. I love learning about the new shows when I do the PSAs. Okay, we have another current event. Let me see. It's Community Soil Foundation's Gather in the Garden annual benefit. It takes place Saturday, September 19th from 4 p.m. to dark at Maddox Ranch Road, Ranch Park, 450 Noonan Ranch Lane in Santa Rosa. Community Soil Foundation provides free outdoor garden and environmental education to 450 local elementary students each week and grows fresh organic produce available for community harvesting. The annual benefit features a seasonal harvest dinner, live music, family activities, Oak Woodland Walks, and Community Connection. Event and ticket information can be found at communitysoil.org. Another local business or organization that I've not heard of before. But I sure like it, Gather in the Garden. So it says it provides garden and environmental education to 450 local elementary students each week. Both my daughters graduated from Cardinal Newman High School, which is a local private Catholic high school. And for their senior year, they have to do a senior project. And my older daughter did a gardening project at the Village Elementary School here in Santa Rosa, and she went and helped the kids plant a garden. They germinated the plants in the classroom and then transplanted them into the garden. And that was her senior service project. They called it a CBSL, which is community-based senior learning. I don't know. Senior lesson. I don't know. Community-based senior. I don't know. Anyways, they do it their senior year. My other daughter did Special Olympics, where she coached Special Olympians in soccer and basketball. But the gardening thing made me think of that. She graduated in 2019. I don't know how long this organization's been around. Maybe they're doing it because of what she did. No, that's not why they're doing it. This show, Level Up with Dani, is all about my wellness journey. We're coming up on 4 years of my wellness journey. And I see results. I see results in the way that I feel. I see results in the way that I look. I see results in the way that I move through life. There's some areas where I don't see results. My body dysmorphia, well, it's changed in some ways. It's gotten worse in other ways. My chronic comparison has changed in some ways, gotten worse in some ways. I did a TikTok this morning about 5 things I'm no longer tolerating. Well, I thought it was 5 things. It turned out to only be 4 things. But the first thing was tight clothes. So as someone who, you know, never really was in a gym or that setting was, I mean, I was when I was younger, but never as a fully formed human with husband and children. I don't like tight clothes. I go to the gym and I am filled with judgment and envy for these women who look hot in their gym clothes. That's not me. I wear leggings, but they're not tight. They're just regular leggings. And I wear like long t-shirts. I'm not wearing sports bras. So the one thing I'm no longer tolerating is tight clothes. I don't like tight clothes. I don't like tight anything. I don't like to be uncomfortable. I will rock a pair of elastic waist pants. I'm wearing a pair right now. I look amazing. I'll post a picture of me. You'll agree. The pants are elastic, okay? That's just where I am in my life. The other thing I'm no longer tolerating is eating food just because it's good for me. I'm not 5 years old. I don't have to eat food just because it's good for me if it tastes bad. So stop offering it to me. I'm not going to eat it. I'm probably not even going to taste it. And you don't get to decide what's good for me and what's not, okay? I can decide that for myself. I'm 63 years old. So yeah, I have judgment around that, but I'm not tolerating that anymore. Tight clothes, foods that are good for me that don't taste good. I'm also not drinking things that are good for me that don't taste good. I don't care about your water boy, your liquid IV, your element, your additive to make you more hydrated. Just drink more water. I'm not going to drink your drink. I'm not drinking Gatorade. I'm not adding powders to my stuff. I'm not putting in collagen powder, protein powder, digestive enzymes, creatine. I'm not doing it. I am not doing it. Tight clothes, eating things that taste bad just because they're good for me, drinking things that taste bad because they're good for me. Those 3 things. And then the fourth thing, what was the fourth thing I said? Supplements. I'm not doing it. Okay, I have rheumatoid arthritis. I take Rinvoq. It's 1 pill a day. I have blood pressure issues. I take a blood pressure pill in the morning and at night. I have Well, I don't have cholesterol issues, but I had a stroke. So I'm on a low dose of Lipitor. I take that at night. I have a cough. Y'all have heard it. My lungs are shot. I use an inhaler. I take a little pill at night for my cough. I have coughed so much that I think I've injured myself. And I was having a lot of nerve pain as a result of that. Maybe it's a result of my broken neck. Maybe it's a combination of super coughing and broken neck. But I have some nerve pain, so I take a pill for nerve pain. And I have some muscular pain around my spine as a result of I don't know what. As a result of the fact that I used to weigh 20 pounds more and I was lugging around this weight on my 5'1 frame, maybe. But I do take something for muscle pain. I got it from my pain management doctor. So I'm already taking those things. I'm not going to take your supplements. I'm not taking magnesium, a multivitamin, a creatine, a vitamin D, a vitamin B12, a K, a calcium. I'm not doing it. Okay? No tight clothes. I'm not eating a food that doesn't taste good just because it's good for me. I'm not drinking things that are good for me that taste terrible. And I'm not taking all the supplements. I'm just not going to do it. Life is short. I don't know how much time I have left, but I guarantee it's not another 64 years. So I'm going to do the things that keep me comfy and make me happy. And I have some judgments around that, people. I have some judgments around these counters filled with supplements. I have judgment around these people who are counting their micros and their macros and their carbos and their proteins and they're in a calorie deficit and all the things. Yes, I have judgment around that. I don't know if I can stop judging people about that. Now, why am I judging people about that? I don't know. Maybe because I think it's hard enough work just being me, just walking through life as Dani Stockham, almost 64, mother of two, 33 years married, like, you know, business owner, struggling author, radio show hostess. I just can't clutter up my life with all these pills and potions and powders and gummies. I walked into the gym today and threw a packet of protein gummies to my trainer and said, eat these. Like, I bought them. They're gluten-free. They're this, they're that, they're the other. They're loaded, 24 grams of protein in a little packet of gummies. I just don't have it in me. Bravo to you, if that is you. Bravo to you if you're running and doing Pilates and doing yoga and stretching and prancing and posing and just doing it all. Golf clap for you. That's not me. I have judgment about it. So maybe the way that you level up isn't becoming a person who never judges. Maybe it's becoming someone who can be wise enough to know which judgments deserve our attentions and which ones deserve to be released. Can I release all my judgments about all these health nut people? I don't know if I can. Can I release my judgments about people who have dedicated themselves to a wellness journey at age 25 when I didn't start mine till I was 60? I mean, that's not judgment. That's friggin' admiration. Can I release myself from my judgments about someone that only wants to talk about their fitness and their fitness regime and their wellness and their wellness regime? I don't know. Am I that person? I don't know. But you can watch my TikTok and listen to the what I call the five things I'm not doing anymore, and that's actually only four things, although there's a tie right after it, so maybe it is five things. Okay, another song that was suggested that I play is Mean by Taylor Swift, which, yeah, I'm here for that. But, and I might play it, but I got to play this song. So I was reading this book. The book was called, oh, Shooty Toot Toot. I forgot the name of the book. Let me get the name of the book. Oh, I know. It just came to me. Okay. The name of the book is The Bright Years. I'm going to put the book on my socials. Anyways, I read the book. So it was like a picture. I could not put the book down. I loved it so much. I cried several times. I read it in a weekend. My husband was like, really? Still reading? Yes, still reading. This book is so good. Anyways, there's a wedding story in the book. And the father-daughter dance was to a Bruce Springsteen song. And they mentioned the song, and I was like, say what now? I pride myself on being a Bruce Springsteen aficionado. I did not know this song. It's a studio outtake. It's the only place I could find the song. The song is called When You Need Me. I don't know if y'all are having a wedding, if your kids are getting married. If you're a father and you have a daughter, this might be a song. If you're a mother and you have a son, this might be a song. I don't know. I mean, I think it's a mother-daughter dance. I don't know. Y'all listen. It's When You Need Me by Bruce Springsteen. Stop it. It's too good. And I mean too good.
When you need me, call my name. 'Cause without you, my life just wouldn't be the same. If you want me, them sunny skies are rain. When you need me, just call my name. If you miss me, I'll be there to brush the sunlight from your hair. I'll be there to guide you when trouble walks beside you. If you need me, I'll be there. And when this dirty world has been cold to you, I got two strong arms waiting to hold you. And when those mean days come along, we'll stand together and we'll take them on. So if you need me, call my
minute. I'm in love with that song. Okay, I am leaving for Dallas tomorrow, going to visit my oldest daughter, going to be there for the weekend. I packed my suitcase before I came to the show, And I'm way overpacked. I packed like 7 to 10 outfits for 4 days. I'm not well. I'm going to see Zach Bryan in concert in Dallas on Saturday night. I have a few options for that, so that doesn't really count because I don't know exactly yet what I'm wearing. I do know that it's 100 degrees there with 50% humidity, so I'm going to be sweaty McSweatersons. But you know what? It's part of the deal, and that's where she lives, and that's what we'll do. So this has been Level Up with Dani. We talked about judgments, being judgmental, when they're good, when they're bad, if we need to drop them, if they're actually discernments and not judgments, which I think is just a pretty way of saying something that maybe is kind of ugly. I don't know. Anyhow, I'm going to close the show by playing the song Mean by Taylor Swift, because why you got to be so mean? Do you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Mean by Taylor Swift.
You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You, with your words like knives and swords and weapons that you use against me. You have knocked me off my feet again, got me feeling like a nothing. You, with your voice like nails on a chalkboard, calling me out when I'm wounded. You, picking on the weaker man. You can take me down with just one single blow, but you don't know what you don't know. Someday I'll be living in a big old city, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is mean. Why you gotta be so mean? Switching sides and your wildfire lies and your humiliation. You have pointed out my flaws again, as if I don't already see them. I walk with my head down, trying to block you out, cause I'll never impress you. I just wanna feel okay again. I bet you got pushed around, somebody made you cold, but the cycle ends.
Gonna be is mean.
Someday I'll be big enough so you can't hit me, and all you're ever gonna be is mean.
Why you gotta be so mean?
All you are is mean. All you are is mean, and a liar, and pathetic, and alone in life, and mean, and mean, and mean, and mean. But someday I'll be living.